Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. A lot of times you will find in your lives that you start to wonder, God, what are you doing? You may even wonder, God, are you doing anything at all? But that's not an uncommon question. Now, biblically, you know God is doing something. But as far as things are going in your own personal life, you kind of wonder, God, are you doing anything? Are you, like, hearing me? Are you, I know you're out there, but are you out there for me? Am I getting through to you, and what are you doing? That's not uncommon. It's actually fairly common, and it will happen to you sooner or later in some way or another if it hasn't happened already. I remember when I first started working where I worked, and I used to think to myself, because I knew God had brought me there, I used to think to myself, God, is this really where you want me? I didn't really understand the purpose of it right away, except to have a job, but I knew that there was more to it than a job when I got it. And I would wonder, is this really where you want me? And he would say, yep. Clear as day in my heart, not audibly, yep. I never knew God said yep before then, but God said yep. And sure enough, later on I realized, because of what God started to do visibly, that yep, this was really where he wanted me. This is something that's not uncommon. God will actually give you a call, and then you're not quite sure what he's doing within that call. Remember this, every born-again believer, you included, has a specific call from God on your life. There is a specific purpose for your life. God has a specific plan for your life. You are not here accidentally. You're not here without meaning and without purpose. You are here with eternal purpose, with eternal meaning. You are here because the kingdom of God has decided that you are necessary. And it's necessary for you to be here. No one can fulfill your purpose. Absolutely no one. No one can fulfill your purpose. Because the expression of God that is in you through the Holy Spirit is unique. And this is true for everyone who is born again. No one has the same expression of Christ that you will have, that you do have, and that he will continue to develop in you. Understand that. Whatever that call is, whatever that purpose that God put on your life is, he is the one who will carry it out. You never have to strive or try in your natural efforts or try to figure out how to make the things of God happen. That's God's job. That's not our job. He's the one who gave the call. He's the one who gave the purpose. He's the one who figures it out. What we do is we respond in faith. We get built up in the Word of God. We develop our relationship with Him. And we get to know the love of God. When that takes place, we develop our ability to respond to Him so that He can take us where He wants us when He wants us to go. Now, in the call, there's three things that are common to every person's call. The details other than this can be quite variable. But these three things will be common to everybody's call. There is a specific local assembly, a specific church. Everybody is called to one specific church. Not everybody is called to the same church. That is the place where your portion of Christ will be revealed and used. That is the place where you will be built up and you will build other people up. Then there is a specific pastor teacher. You're called to one pastor at a time. And so you don't say to yourself, this pastor and this pastor are equal in my life. They're not. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I'm saying you're called to one of them and that's the one you go with. Everybody has nuances, small differences in the way that they see things, in the way they approach preaching, in the way they approach the Bible, and so on. Go with what your pastor is teaching you that you are called to. Now, if God should happen to take your pastor home early or something like that happens, then God's going to give you a different one. But God will only give you one at a time. Now, the third part of it is a geographic location. God wants you to be in a specific place at a specific time. That's important. Geographic location incorporates time. So when God carries something out, not only is the time important, but also the place of it is important. That makes sense, doesn't it? God wants you to win certain people to Christ, perhaps. Well, you've got to be where they are if you're going to win them to Christ. Those three things are common, although the details of it are different. In other words, the specifics within the local assembly and which local assembly a given believer is called to is going to be different. But every believer is called to a local assembly, a church. Every believer is called to a pastor. Not every believer is called to the same pastor. Not everybody is called to the same relationship to that pastor within that church, but everybody is called to have some relationship with their pastor. They're called to receive from him, if nothing more. And then, of course, the place and the time are very important. You can't neglect that you need to be in the right place, God's place, at the right time, God's time, if you are to live in the call. All the other details are important also, but those three things are common to everybody, and it's up to God to make them happen. You never have to strive. Now, sometimes because it's up to God to have that happen, and God is developing you not just in a call, but also as an individual. He's also developing you personally in your character, in your relationship with him. Things are going to happen underneath the surface very frequently, and you're going to have no idea what's going on. You're going to recognize that something happens, and it may be positive, it may be negative, but something happened. And sometimes you're going to say, what's going on? What's going on is God is working. What's God doing? And that's a common question. God, what are you doing? God is working. What are you doing with me, God? Where are you going to take me? God is working. God has it figured out. By the way, young people, God has it figured out. You don't have to worry about, is it present? How it's going to happen? God has it figured out. He's making it happen. Understand this, that God is a very, very personal God. That does not mean you decide who he is. That means your relationship to him is very personal. Not necessarily private. Sometimes people use the word personal as private. Not necessarily private. Can you imagine if Jesus said, well, my faith is private? Well, we'd all be going to hell then. No. God is dealing with you as an individual. He loves you as an individual. If you were the only person on earth, God would do exactly the same things. His relationship to you is individually with you. His love for you is individually with you. His plan for you is individually with you. When God is doing something, it is individually for you. When Peter in John 21 asked Jesus, what are you going to do with John? Jesus said to him, what is that to you? You follow me. It's an individual life with God. You do have it in the body of Christ. That's where you get to know him. But it is an individual life with God. And he is dealing with you and he's developing you as an individual, as a person. Now, in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship. That means that we are the work of His hands. It's His job to develop us. It's our job to respond to Him. But He is the one who does the developing. Sometimes people sense a call on their life. Maybe they're called to be a teacher, a missionary, whatever it is, a pastor, whatever it is. Whatever the call that God places on your life, it's His job to bring you into it. It's not your job to figure it out. People sometimes start to strive in their call. Well, I gotta make it happen. You'll never make it happen. And the reason why is because the call of God is a kingdom issue. It's something that God has for your function within His kingdom. Because you cannot see these things, because you don't know all things, because you don't have all ability, you can't make it happen yourself. Don't try. If you try to make it happen yourself, often you'll take yourself right out of God's call. Don't try. You stay faithful in the call that you are in. That's 1 Corinthians 7. You stay faithful in the call that you are in. Let's say that you know that you're called to a specific church and a specific pastor at a specific time in a specific place. You stay faithful within that. You stay faithful to the church you're called to, stay faithful to the pastor you're called to, stay faithful to be active in the church that you're called to. Don't be a fringe Christian. You be involved in your church that you're called to. That's part of your call. I'm not saying you have to be involved in everything. I have in the past seen people who thought they have to be involved in everything and they end up hurting themselves. No, you are involved as much as your ability allows, but you also pray and be led and recognize that other components of your life are also a part of the call. You may have a family, that is a part of your call, or a spouse, that is a part of the call. You may have some other thing in your life that's very important that you cannot neglect. That is a part of the call. I've actually seen people neglect one part of a call for another part of a call, and it's costly. That's a false balance. Now, in the call, God is the one who moves you around. If you are in the call where God wants you, you stay faithful until God takes you to a different call. He is very good at moving you when you need to be moved in whatever way that requires. Sometimes He'll simply make it impossible for you not to change something. Well, that's often how He directs your steps. God is very good at doing what He's doing in your life. You don't have to worry about how He's going to make it happen. Sometimes young people in particular, I've seen this in Bible college, they stress out over what's the next step. What do I do when I get out? Where do I go? Should I stay here? Should I go out? Should I be a missionary? What do I do? And they really stress out. The answer is relax. It's up to God to do it. It's not up to you. Faithful is He who's called you. He is indeed faithful. And He does it. It's up to God to do it. You stay faithful where you are today. Let God deal with tomorrow. You're His workmanship. You're created for a purpose, and He is working on you. Now, whatever the call you have, the goal is pretty much the same. We simply get occupied with the call where we're in. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. The call of God is a high and holy calling. In other words, it's very important within the kingdom, and it came from the highest of sources, God Himself. It's like saying the king has given you a place or a function or something like that, and it came directly from the king. Well, for born-again believers, it always comes directly from the king. That's why it's a high calling. It's a call of God. We're always pressed toward that mark. We're always concerned with, we're always focused on living with God in the call. That becomes our occupation. By occupation, I mean that's what we are thinking about, that's what we are concerned with. You may have a job that's not a part of your call just because you have to make a living. God provides those provisions. That's called a provision, not a call. God will give you provisions that will go along, complement your call. Something like a job is not usually a call. It can be, but that's not a call. I remember when I was first saved, I was in college. And we had this really great pastor. And he really imparted urgency in the life of God. What he really imparted was take God seriously. That was the big thing that I learned from that one pastor. And it was invaluable. That was one of the most valuable things I ever received from anybody. Take God seriously. And I asked this one guy, what's your call? And he said, middle-level management. So you're called to mediocrity. That is not a call. That's a job he wants. And I was amazed. He wanted a mediocre job. My call is middle-level management. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to be a middle-level manager. Great. If that's the job you want and that's the job you have, more power to you. That's not a call. The call is what God uses in your life for you to get to know Him, and then also for other people to get to know Him through you. Middle-level management, that's not a call. God can use it, it's not a call. It's a provision. It may be a good provision. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's not a call. Now, we are occupied, we are focused on the call. That is our concern, our call. And then when we need a provision within our call, God will give us a provision within our call. But we are focused on the call. Now, the outcome of the call for everybody ultimately is the same. In Romans 8:29, He whom God did foreknow, God always knew you were going to be here. You are foreknown by Him. Why? Because you got saved. Those who are not saved in Matthew 7:23, God doesn't even know them. So you who He does know, He has predestined, predetermined that you should be conformed to the image of Christ. What He's trying to do is get your oneness with God in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 to become your practical experiential reality. He wants you to know Him intimately, and He wants other people to see Him in you. Your ultimate purpose for your call is to get to know God intimately, and for other people to be able to see Him in you, no matter what the circumstance. When that is happening, you are living in the highest aspect of your call. Now, remember, He chose you before the foundation of the world. That means there was no world, and he already had a call and a plan and a purpose for you. What's he doing? He's doing what he decided to do before the world even existed. That is a very important purpose. That means that your purpose is an eternal purpose that affects, whether you recognize it or not, all of time. I will guarantee you that Timothy, who was a young pastor trained by Paul, did not think his purpose was affecting all of time. But yet, nowadays, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Timothy. We're still talking about how he was a Greek, didn't have a father, his mother raised him, he was a young pastor, Paul was training this young pastor, things were happening in this young pastor's life, the young pastor was being used by God in different ways, and you know what? People are learning from him today. He wasn't thinking that. Well, just like with Timothy, your call has an eternal purpose. It spans all of time. And because all points of time occur simultaneously, in the same moment all points of time exist, you have no way of knowing this, but your call affects all points of time. How do they affect all points of time? That depends on the individual. But your call affects all points of time. Imagine the person who led Ezekiel to become a believer. We have no idea who that person is. But their life impacted all points of time. Your life is impacting all points of time. How? That's only something God can know because only God can see all points of time. But nonetheless, your life is impacting all points of time, just like theirs did. God's no respecter of persons. Now, in Romans 8:28, everything that takes place for the purpose of developing Christ in you. Of developing that relationship with you, of developing the ability of other people to see Christ in you. Doesn't matter what happens, it all takes place for the same reason. Now, in your call, sometimes people can feel like, well, God is doing something, but he's kind of forgetting me in it. That's not true. That's a common thought. It's not true. In Psalm 84:11, God does not withhold any good thing from the believer. Nothing. God withholds no good thing from you. Sometimes people want something from God and it's not forthcoming, or maybe it never does come. You know what? You may have thought it would have been a good thing. But God knew otherwise. So don't ever say to yourself, well, God withheld this good thing. No, he didn't. It wasn't a good thing. You just thought it was. God will withhold nothing that is good from you. You never have to worry about how you're going to get into a call. You never have to worry about your decisions. You have to make decisions. But the process does not have to be intimidating. Because in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man, it says steps of a good man, the word good is not in the original. It's just the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights, has pleasure in the way. God will order your steps in such a way that you're going to enjoy your life with God. If you're not enjoying your life with God, then there's some element of the old sin nature that's still present that's hindering that. But Psalm 16:11 says that when God shows you the path of life, in his presence is the fullness of joy. That's not a promise for just individuals here and there. That's a promise for everybody. He shows you the path of life, and in His presence is fullness of joy. So if I'm not experiencing that, I have to ask myself why. And the answer is invariably, there's some element of my old sin nature, and this happens to everybody from time to time. Some element of my old sin nature is getting in the way. So I need to deal with that element. And if I can't recognize what that actually is, or I can't find my way to deal with it, don't worry about that. Draw near to God, keep developing your relationship, operate in humility toward God, and He'll take care of it for you. It may be a process, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong in a process. What's God doing in my life? He's making you to be the expression of Him. That is what God is doing with your life. You want to know what's going on and why it's happening? Because God is making you to be the expression of Him. Do you know why that tough thing came into your life? So that you would get to know the love of God. So you would get to experience the faithfulness of God. God allowed me to fail, and now what? Why did that happen? So you can experience His compassion and His mercy. Some people fail and they become afraid. They're afraid because they don't believe He's compassionate and merciful. But God is. He's compassionate and God is merciful. Even in your worst failures, God is compassionate and He's merciful. God understands that you have an old sin nature. God understands that there is a devil targeting your old sin nature. God understands that we have weaknesses. God understands that things can be overwhelming or difficult or challenging to us. God understands that there's things that to us are insurmountable, and He'll bring us through them. And He'll always bring us through those things by being merciful and compassionate and gentle. That's why David said, God's gentleness has made me great. Never allow Satan to accuse God to you in your difficult times. Instead, be confident in the fact that God is kind toward you, that He's compassionate toward you, that He's merciful. And when God is doing something in your life, then it's there for that one reason, to develop Christ in you. That's it. That is the reason. And if you have to make choices, don't be anxious. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say, just acknowledge Him in all your ways. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Just acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He directs your path. It's very simple with God. You can be confident, and if you're wondering, God, what are you doing? The answer is, I'm working. And I'm working to make you into the expression of me. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.